Hello, and welcome to Small Talk, a podcast from Contemporary Pediatrics. I'm Miranda Hester, and in this episode, I am speaking with Dr. Andrew Schumann, who is a clinical assistant professor of pediatrics at the Geisel School of Medicine at Dartmouth, and also a practicing pediatrician, about vaccine hesitancy and the potential ramifications those sentiments could have on the future COVID-19 vaccine.
So, Dr. Schumann, before the pandemic, roughly how many parents in your practice were either vaccine hesitant or vaccine refusers?
In my practice, Miranda, a relatively small number of parents are either vaccine hesitant or vaccine refusers. I am fortunate in that regard because in preparation for this interview, I did a little research. And the Academy of Pediatrics 4 years ago published an article in Pediatrics discussing countering vaccine hesitancy. And as a baseline, it's interesting to note that in a national telephone survey of 1,500 parents of young children, in 210, approximately 3% of respondents refused all vaccines, and 20% had refused or delayed at least one of the recommended childhood vaccines. There are lots of other studies that were quoted, and apparently in 2006, a periodic survey of fellows revealed that 75% of pediatricians surveyed had encountered parents who refused vaccine, and a follow-up survey indicated that this increased at 2013 to 87% of pediatricians. So it's a very common problem encountered by most pediatricians, and I consider myself fortunate in not having to deal with a lot of parents who are vaccine hesitant or refusers. There are a small number that I do encounter, and I do give them the benefit of doubt and do my best to convince them otherwise.
All right. So amongst those parents that you do have, what sort of reasons have you heard from them about why they're either vaccine hesitant or a vaccine refuser?
There are several common reasons. One is that the diseases that we immunize against are rare these days in large measure because other children get vaccinated. So there is this herd immunity effect that these vaccine refusers benefit from. A lot of vaccine refusers don't trust the medical care system, research. They read all sorts of misinformation disseminated over the internet. So there's no wonder that a lot of people have confidence that they don't need a vaccine and that there may be untoward side effects if they do get a vaccine. So relative to your next few questions, I think this is going to weigh heavily on medical providers convincing people to get the COVID-19 vaccine.
All right, so have the parents in your practice, not just the vaccine refusers and the vaccine hesitant, have they spoken with you about the future COVID-19 vaccine?
Absolutely. And it's interesting in that the questions usually are generated by myself because I usually talk about vaccines in general. I talk about this time of year in the fall that the flu vaccine will soon become available and that I recommend that they get them even in the past if they have been somewhat delinquent because I think it will at least help reduce the amount of influenza in the community and certainly among vaccinated patients. It's not a perfect vaccine. So we do have an opportunity to talk about COVID-19. And surprisingly, I have had very few parents tell me that they're going to rush out and get the vaccine when it first becomes available. And I'm surprised by this. Perhaps it's because they see the impact of physical distancing and mask wearing on diminishing the vaccine. And they may have some legitimate concern about vaccines being rushed to the market without appropriate testing. And it then falls to the pediatrician to explain what a phase one, phase two, phase three trial is, and that no products will be released to the American public, unlike Russia, without a good look at its safety and adequate testing in literally thousands of subjects, many of which are in the pediatric age. So we will have some difficulty, I'm sure, but I'm going to be among the first to volunteer and lead by example. And if we're here to do more interviews, then we've accomplished what I hope to accomplish.
All right. So have the vaccine hesitant or vaccine refusal parents in your practice indicated their intentions for when the COVID-19 vaccine becomes available? And if they have, what have they told you?
Okay. Our conversations are usually not that profound. I usually have very few minutes to discuss it. But if I can show this where it shows up, this is a chart taken from that article I mentioned on vaccine hesitancy, and it was published 4 years ago. And it's a chart that's quite interesting because when a new disease comes out and a new vaccine becomes available, then you see a slow, gradual adoption of a new vaccine, and it peaks. There will always be some underlying side effects like pain at the injection site, fevers, some possible other effects that may or may not be vaccine related. And then it kind of falls off after a while until such time that there's a resurgence of the illness. And it's kind of interesting if you consider what's been going on in some of our Western states where there is a population of vaccine refusers. I believe it's measles that a lot of people are refusing. And measles is a lot more infectious than even COVID. It's so infectious that you can get it, you know, within minutes of exposure. And it's incredibly contagious with an R naught, I think, of 6 or higher. So what have we seen among vaccine refusers is the spread of a very contagious virus. I think those families that have been hit hard by COVID, meaning you've had relatives who've gotten ill or know people who have died, you're going to be among the first to volunteer to get the vaccine. But it's going to, even those vaccine refusers, I think as long as people are getting the vaccines and not having any unusual side effects, they're going to be, I won't say compelled, but maybe convinced of the safety of the vaccine. What we won't know for some time is how effective that vaccine will be. The other question that's interesting is my understanding is these vaccines that are coming out are targeting different components of the virus. So one wonders if one or more vaccines get approved, would there be any benefit in getting several and not just one vaccine? So time will tell.
All right. So what should providers, public health organizations, and the government at the local, state, and federal level do to try to tackle the vaccine hesitancy or vaccine refusal concerns before potentially the vaccine comes out to help ensure that society can return to something like it was before the start of the pandemic?
Education is paramount to this effort, and it will be handled by healthcare providers, by the government, by school teachers. I think a lot of what pediatricians do is education, and we need to take the opportunity to let them know this time of year that the flu vaccine is coming available, and they should get it this time more than they might in years past. And to consider the COVID vaccine for pretty much the same reason, because it's a very nasty virus. I think some governments might even consider mandating the vaccine, and governments have locally and statewide mandated vaccines to safeguard students and other people should they want to take advantage of public schools, et cetera. There may be further mandates by employers requiring essential personnel to be vaccinated unless there's a legitimate not to do so. So I think we're going to see a very aggressive campaign involving lots of different people once the COVID vaccines become available.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to catch the next episode of Small Talk.